have life and have it more abundantly. And we thank you and praise you, God, for that gift that you've given to us. And it's for all. Father, I just pray you'll touch, Lord, my stammering lips. Father, you touch this message, which is your message. Touch the hearts of the people for your glory and for their benefit. For you love them, Lord, and you've given yourself for all of us. And we thank you for who you are and what you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is Terry still here? Yeah, okay. And he said he was going to leave when I got up here, but I see he's still here, sir. That's good. He will endure a little while longer. We're going to look at the promise of God today. I could say promises. I didn't know exactly how to put a title on it. When God gives me something, I stay with it for a while. I'm assuming it's what he wants me to do. But I kind of stuck on this theme of unbelief. And we talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning, class in Sunday school, and about unbelief and what Jesus was talking about when he told the disciples. He says, I don't want them to hear anymore. He said, because really they don't believe. And if they don't believe, hey, they haven't got to listen. And so we're looking at a world today, and Brother Damon spoke of a country who no longer seems to want God. Listen, God's not going to force himself on the United States. He's not going to force himself on anybody who don't want him or hear his word or believe who he is. But the day is coming. The day is coming when everyone will appear before Jesus, either as a believer at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, where you will answer for your sins forever in an eternal place that God never intended for man, but made for the devil and his angels, called the great lake of fire. I was taking a shower this morning. I had the hot water on to start with, and I said, whew, boy, that's hot. And I was thinking, man, I just can't imagine somebody can be in torment and hell all that time, forever and ever. And listen, I guess it's not a popular theme today, and people don't like to hear about it, but God is trying to tell you, listen, there's a place to miss and a place to get. You can go from hell to paradise, and all it takes is a free gift from Jesus Christ. Born to die that we might have life, to celebrate his birth, to look forward to his death. And we say, well, you look forward to his death? It said it pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise him because it was his passion to save us. And we want his blessings, and we want him to hear our prayers, but we don't want to live for him. Or we don't like to hear that. Listen, you know, you should want to hear the truth. Now, there's some times when I don't want to hear the truth a whole lot, but God gives us the truth. God gives his people his truth so that they can grow and be blessed. You can't be blessed if you got a lifestyle of sin in your life. And that includes Christians as well as non-believers. I know it rains on the just and unjust. God says, I don't hear your prayers when you got sin in between us. And those who are lost, listen, he'll never hear your prayer. He said, well, I know he has. And, well, you just called the Bible a liar. It says it's not here those who are not saved, who don't know him as Savior. It doesn't mean he doesn't have his eye on you and doesn't know what's going on. But he said, those who believe in me, he says, I hear you. God says if his people will turn from their sins, he says, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. And you better hope he wants to heal our land today, because it needs a great healing. God is so slow in his justice and his judgment, and I'm grateful he is, or I'd been gone a long time ago. God is just long-suffering. He doesn't want to see people suffer. We suffer because we entered a world of sin. We accepted what Adam and Eve did. We were born with it. We couldn't help that. But you know what? We accept the same things, the same temptations they were tempted with. We accept those. And we're talking about in Sunday school class this morning. I don't think most Christians, we're not guilty of adultery or stealing or lying as such. But we have bitterness in our heart. We have unforgiveness in our heart. We're mad at somebody in church over nothing. And it has a ripple effect. Everything you do has a ripple effect. And we want a church that loves God, and I think we do have a church that loves God. And we've got good people. We've got a good church. We've got a great pastor. He loves the people. I know he loves. I know God gives you a love, a special love for the people when he calls you to be a pastor. I've seen it in my brother and my father-in-law, and I've seen it in Brother Damon. He just loves the people. The underling shepherd. Hebrews chapter 4, 1 through 3, and we'll try to get to 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 24. And there's two aspects. We're going to look at the promises and unbelief. And there's two aspects of this thing, the promises of God. One is the initial promise, the great promise, the most wonderful of all promises. That's the promise of eternal life that God gives us. Now, in a sense, we all have life unending. But if you die without Christ, you'll have a living death. Oh, you're alive. You're talking about that. I never understand why people want to see zombies. And if you want to see zombies, that's fine with me. It's just not my personal preference. I don't know how you can continue to have, you know, The Walking Dead or whatever it's called. I don't know how many watch it. They asked my son one time, I said, what do you want to say about zombies? All the same thing, a bunch of dead people walking around. He said, oh, it's just a plot. It's so interesting to watch. So I'm just amazed at that. But actually, people who are without Christ, they're the walking dead. They're dead men walking. You're dead spiritually. But Christ came back to give us life. And we've been so far absent from the Spirit of God and the spiritual aspect of man that we even deny God exists in many people's lives. In Romans, it tells us that people do this willingly, that he has given them revelation of who he is. You can see him in creation. You can see him, you can feel him in your conscience. You know there's a right. You know, without a God, there's no right or wrong. With no absolute authority, there's no rights. There's no right or wrong. You just do what you want to do. Because who's to say you're wrong if there's no moral authority? If there's not one who gave life and was willing to tell you right from wrong for your benefit, not for his benefit. God don't need us. Unbelief. But there are two aspects of the promises. One is the great promise of salvation. And then there's those promises that God gives his people if they're willing to follow him. Now look, I'm not talking about being perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. But God talks about a heart and a desire to follow him in the Christian life, the spiritual walk that God has called us to. And look, just because we stumbled, I mean, we can start over. I mean, we stumble. I've stumbled. I can't even count how many times I've stumbled. But I wasn't happy about it. If you stumble and you're happy about it, if you're in temptations and you succumb to it and you're happy about it, listen, it should be making you miserable as a child of God. God calls us to a holy walk and a righteous walk. It says, let us, verse 1 of chapter 4 in Hebrews says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. We talk about two kinds of rest, the rest as a Christian and the rest of being born again in the Christian life. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, if you want to have faith, God will give you the faith. It's not saying they just didn't have the faith. God has to give you the faith. When you get saved, God gives you the faith to believe. He lays it right out to you. And you know somehow, some way, you don't understand it, but God gives you that spiritual understanding. Here it is. If you want me, I'll help you believe. I'll give you the belief. I'll give you the faith. All you got to do is accept me. Oh, what a difference. What a difference. You talk about gang members coming to Christ, and instead of killing people, doing all the things that they do with drugs and stuff, they become ministers of the Word of God. Like Nikki Cruz and many, many others who me and God have called me to go out to those jungles, those asphalt jungles, to bring people out who will believe in him. Listen, God's not going to leave you alone. God's going to look after you. God's going to be with you. God wants you. He loves you as good more than you love your children or your grandchildren. And you say, man, I just don't believe that's possible. But it is. It's possible. It says the gospel was given to them. It's talking about that generation that was with Moses. They did not believe and wouldn't go into the promised land. He said the same word was preached to them as preached to us. Listen, God's word hadn't changed. It's believe on him. Believe on him. He says these are the works God has sent me for. He said if you want works to believe on me. You want works to get you into heaven, then you believe on me. That's the works. You don't work to get to heaven. Now, and you can't work after you get saved to get to heaven. But if you're not working after you get saved, I wondered if you got saved. And I'm not talking about doing something necessarily in church, though you should be working in church. But I'm talking about a change in your life. And I ain't planning to talk a whole lot about it. Listen, we've talked about this thing 1,000 times in this church. Somebody or bodies out there, listen, you think you're saved by your head count, but you've never had a heart change. You never had a heart operation. You never had that old, stinking, dirty, filthy, sinful heart taken out, that new heart transplanted within you, this Christ's heart. Bad example, I heard it on the radio. That God gives us a heart. The heart is wicked. Man's heart is wicked above all things. Paul says, how can anybody even look into it? He said, but God can give you a new heart, a heart that loves and a heart that gives and a heart that shares. Listen, every Christian wants somebody else to get saved too. Listen, I know words. I know I'm saved. You know you're saved if you're saved. I'm not going to bed worrying about whether I'm going to hell. But boy, I just care a whole lot of people with me. We don't care a whole lot of. You want to see the whole world get saved. Listen, it makes you mourn over a generation that does not know God. I mourn after a generation in America who did not grow up in the country I did and does not know God. Because when you don't choose God, then you're turned over to anything else in the world you want to believe. And Satan can take you 1,000 different ways. He don't care if he takes you in a stretcher or carries you in a rich mansion till you die at 97 years old. But when you're dead, listen, it don't matter if you live to be 300 years old. When it's over with, it's over. And all those times you thought were great parties and great times, they don't get no better than this, it's gone. Or gone. Ever how you want to say it. I like gone myself. It says, for we which have believed, listen, we which have believed do enter into what? Rest. Now, I don't know about you. I didn't ever have any real rest or peace till I got saved. I had good times and bad times. But there's always something in my heart. I remember my mother told me one time. She says, son, you know you're lost because there's always something in your heart telling you that something's not right and you're not happy and you're miserable. Oh, you have some happy times. But if you ever have the peace that you don't have to worry, that if your eyes closed tonight or if your eyes closed tomorrow, that you don't have to worry about where you're going. You don't have to worry about the future. In fact, it says this life won't even be remembered once we get into glory and Christ comes back, sets up his kingdom. And he says God will be all in all. Because this isn't it, folks. This isn't it. We're looking for a different country and a different king and a different land and a different life. While we can't even imagine, we just get touches of it. We get a good touch of it when we get saved, and we get touches of it in worship sometimes. We get a touch of it when God's answering prayer. When God enters our grief with us, we get touches of it. Can't even imagine. I don't know why we don't get excited about it sometimes. It's like we're in a football game, we're losing 100-0. But we which have believed have entered his rest. Does that mean we don't have? Yeah, we have troubles. We're always going to have troubles as long as we're in this body. In fact, nobody's getting out of this world alive unless they get hit in the rapture. He said, we enter into his rest. And what a rest it is. He says, then he talks about those who don't believe, that generation. He says, and I have sworn in my wrath, those who don't believe, that they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That means your salvation was accomplished. Your salvation was certain before God laid the foundations of creation. You know why? He knew he was going to create man. He knew he was going to fail. He already had the plan. He already had the plan made. I will die for them. And I will give them life. Whosoever will come, take of the water of life freely. The creation rest. We talk about the Sabbath, and look, you want to look over in Colossians. We don't have to do Sunday. We don't have to do Saturday anymore. That Saturday was a commemoration of a finished creation. Sunday was a commemoration of a finished redemption. We don't look back at Egypt where we were delivered from sin. We look back at the cross where we were delivered from sin. If you want to worship on Saturday, worship on Saturday. You ain't going to go to hell for worshiping on Saturday. I'm not going to worship the law or try to go back to the law. Now, I believe you need to keep the law as good as you can, but you don't want to do it by submitting to Christ. I know we Baptists get accused sometimes. Oh, they say you can just live like you want to. Well, if you're in Christ, you can't live pretty much like you want to because you're not going to do the things they want you to do. We never said sin was all right and wouldn't be punished. Now, if you, as a child of God, if you want to stay in sin, God is long-suffering. He'll give you a chance to get out. If you don't want to get out, I'm telling you, he'll give you a whooping. I don't know about this woodshed thing. Oh, I got whipped right there when I got whipped. It won't carry me nowhere. But God chastises us because he loves us. And God has a plan for each person's life. And everybody's plan is different. But it's uniquely made for you because God knows you as an individual, uniquely. He wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. Not only at salvation, but through your whole life. That's why it says acknowledge God in all your ways. Ask him about things. When you're starting to make a decision, you say, well, I don't hear anything. Well, don't do anything. Ask God. Search God. And you know what? You know where he answers you the best? Right here. He'll answer you more in that book than just about anywhere. Now, he answers in churches, and he says not to forsake, not the assembling of yourselves together, and he wants us to meet. And I don't understand why people don't want to go to Sunday school when you can learn and ask. And it's just things are up for discussion. If you want to throw an odd question in, it's no problem. We don't stick to a particular theme or lesson. If God leads another way, I know some can't come. But you'll get more fellowship and you'll understand a lot of stuff where Christians who really care about the Word of God and are really searching. Once you get saved, God says, you search me. You seek me. You look for me. Now, he says that before we get saved, nobody's looking for God. I don't know about you. God just touched me. He just started touching me. He started calling me. He started convicting me. I wasn't particularly looking for God. I was looking for a good time. Sometimes I got some bad times. But God calls for you. Okay, let's look. We're talking about unbelief, and now we're going to look at, I want to look at First Thessalonians, and it's chapter 5, verse 12 through 24. And in these verses right here, it's both instruction for the individual and for the church, that we can grow and be what God wants us to be. So let's look at these things as Paul, Brother Paul, who still has a great ripple effect in his ministry when he got saved. Oh, listen, you do not know how many people you've touched with your Christian ministry and your Christian life. The words you've spoken, the words of comfort, the words of salvation. Listen, it has an eternal ripple effect. I think Mordecai Ham, I think it was him the evangelist that Billy Graham got saved. He's the only one that got saved that night was Billy Graham. Look at the ripple effect for Mordecai Ham. Because look at the ripple effect that Billy Graham had. And I'm telling you, God can take the least, God can take the ripple effects that we don't see and make it greater than any of them. Don't doubt what God is doing in your life because it's God that's doing it. Verse 12 says, and we beseech you, brethren, he's talking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. He's not talking about dictatorship, but he's talking about your pastor and your elders. It says, get to know them. Talking about spiritual wise, it says, get to know them. Have a relationship with them. Get to know their heart. Get to know their heart. Get to know those. We really fellowship time is a good time. And I tell you, I keep going back to Sunday school. Sunday school is one of the best places to get to know people. Everybody awake? Okay. It says, and to esteem those who work in the Word of God. This includes the teachers, it includes the deacons, it includes the pastor. It says, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, for their office sake. And to be at peace among yourselves. That's talking about the people in the church. Be at peace among yourselves. There's nothing worse than a church fight. And there's nothing more silly than a church fight, but it's usually fought over nothing. I'm glad we don't have a whole lot of bunch of meetings. So we can figure out what the color this is and what put over there. I mean, that's like arguing how many angels can be on the head of a needle. No matter. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. It's not talking about being bad to them. It says, those who are trying to cause trouble, it says, warn them. Let me tell you something. Those who mess up a church, do not think that God will get them. If they're a Christian, they'll be chastised. And if they're not Christian, if they're the devil's crowd, bad things might happen. From God, not from us, of course. Warn them that are unruly. All these things you can be listed. It says, comfort the feeble-minded. This means the faint-hearted. Those who have, listen, sometimes when we're in trouble, we have one thing after another. I don't know about you, I get faint. I mean, I don't know what to do. I need help. It says, those people, when they're faint-hearted, it says, gather around them. Show them that they love you. Some people have family that loves, and some people have family that doesn't love, and some people don't have any family at all. But the family of God should be the first, really, to come in and say, we care about you. What can we do? What can we help? Nothing hurts worse than to have something happen and nobody says or calls or does nothing. What kind of love is that? And then when something happens to us, we wonder, where is everybody? Support the weak, those who need help again. Be patient toward all men. Can you be patient to your neighbor? Can you be patient to one beside of you? Listen, everybody don't grow at the same rate. And some people don't ever grow at all. This took me 65 years to be about 40. I'm just slow. I can't help it. It's just who I am. It takes me a while to grab hold of things. It takes me a while to grow up. And I still like cartoons with the kids. Well, some of them. And I see it's a lot of humor in it. And it's good to fellowship with your, not with your children now, but with your grandchildren. They'll never forget that fellowship. I don't forget the times with my granddaddy. We spent some time together, which wasn't a whole lot. He died early, but I remember the times that we're good together. See that none render evil for evil. Quit trying to get back at somebody. Quit scheming. Do you know scheming? That's trying to manipulate things. Well, you might even want to lie a little bit, try to get somebody to go a certain way. Quit doing that. I don't know if it is witchcraft or not, but I've heard it called witchcraft, a type of witchcraft, trying to maneuver somebody or a situation. Let God handle it. You know, we talk about the things of God. Do we ever really do what the Bible tells us to do in our growing? Or do you keep anger inside? Or are you still mad with somebody? Learn to forgive. And that parable about where the man who owed king so much, which was impossible to pay. You wonder how he got in debt that bad. But it's talking about our sins, our sin debt to God. But this person was a part of the kingdom, so he was saved. So the king said, I forgive you that debt. Of course, what that guy, he goes out and finds someone on the street, owes him about $5. And he has him thrown in prison. God said, and the king said, you take that man and you put him in jail, and he's going to stay there till the debt's paid. Now I'm thinking, how is he going to pay that debt if he's in prison? But this is the central part of that parable. He says, I have forgiven you of much. He says, can't you forgive somebody else for a little that you can have peace? But that's talking about Christians, because he can't work his way out of hell. He can't work his way out of prison. That's what it's talking about. He said, but we'll, listen, that is a choice. And given to the tormentors. Until you learn to forgive, you will forever be in torment. Not all the time, but you'll be tormented in your heart. And part of your life will be messed up and tied up where God can't use it, and you can't be happy without forgiveness. There's power in forgiveness. God moves in forgiveness. God moves not only in our life, but in our church in forgiveness. So they didn't shake your hand. So they stepped on your foot. Big deal. Don't do it like I did one Friday, Wednesday. I was talking about it in Sunday school class. One Wednesday night some years ago, and I was puffed up, and Charles Stanley chewed me out of it. Aggravating man. The only time I've ever been not angry with Charles. I tell you what it'll do. It'll sure humble you. So you're so tight in your own self-righteousness. God just humbles you right down to where you feel like you're about this high. See that none render evil for evil in any man. Follow that which is good. Follow the good advice. Both among yourselves to all men. Now listen, rejoice evermore. It's not me going to be happy and rejoicing all the time. I'm going to say, we can't even rejoice when we think about eternal life. Can you rejoice in a life? Like Miss Figgy talked about, they were rejoicing after the accident and nobody was hurt. Can you imagine a bunch of people saying, what are they doing? Oh, they're praising God. He's had an accident. They're praising God over there on the pavement. That's a witness. That's sowing seeds. Sowing seeds. I'm talking about sowing seeds this morning in Sunday school class. So you see, you may not see the benefit of it. You may never see the benefit of it until eternity. But sow the seeds, sow the gospel, sow the good news, show the good thing. Jesus said, he says, let them see your good works that they what? Praise your Father which is in heaven. Because it's not us, it's showing them Christ. That's the only Christ they ever see. Because an atheist can look at the Bible and say, a mean, evil, vindictive God. A Christian can see the Bible and see the love of God from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. You know why? Because we've believed and we can say, you can't understand the things of God until you have God in you. It says the carnal man cannot understand or comprehend the things of God. It is impossible. Get in the Word. We're going to talk about praying in a minute. I got to get there too. Rejoice. There are times of rejoicing. We can rejoice with God. Even in times of conflict, we can rejoice. Why? That's what worship is. Worship is just, it's forgetting about your troubles and the things that are going on. You sit there and you just worship God for who he is. That's worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Because it's not about him and it's not about her and it's not about you. It's all about God and who he is. And God blesses in that type of worship. Pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean pray 24/7, but it's talking about don't give up your prayer life. Don't get discouraged. One of Satan's biggest weapons is to discourage you. And he'll plant 100 thoughts in your mind why you should not pray. I'll get a sermon up and think it's right to go, and all of a sudden, just before it started this week, you got the wrong sermon. I've been through this before. God gave me that sermon. That's not me. But he'll put wrong thoughts. He'll put negative thoughts. He'll put harmful thoughts. He'll get thoughts where you're mad at someone or you're angry at the situation or you're blaming God. And Satan said, look what God did. And you know what? What happened to you wasn't God's idea. It was Satan's idea. He's the one that causes the trouble. God's the one that gets you out if you'll look toward him. Now, here's a hard one. In everything, give thanks. In what? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't mean you're supposed to give thanks because something bad happened to you, but it says you can give thanks that God's going to take this thing and make something great out of it. God says, I'll work through those things. I'll take those things that Satan has intended to harm you, to destroy you. I will take it to make it strengthen you, to make you live abundantly. I can't remember the pastor's name. We went to Real Evangelism Conference some years ago, and he was going on some trip. It had something to do with church, the best I remember, and his car broke down. And he's thinking, well, I'm going over here to do God's business, and what happens? The car breaks down. Ain't that wonderful? We're on the interstate. And then he had to call a wrecker, and the wrecker guy who came and picked up his car, and they got in, he asked, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor at so-and-so church. He led that man to Christ. Now, how could he leave that man to Christ if his car had tore up and he had to call that particular record that God already had in mind who to call and to bring and to put before that man that he could give him the gospel? And now you got a soul who's saved for eternity who would be in hell. A little bit inconvenienced. Didn't seem so bad, did it? Of course, I've been worse than him. I'd be, car tore up. Quench not the spirit. Don't do things. You know, when you start to do something wrong, God's going, you know it's wrong, no matter what it is. It says don't do that. Don't quench the spirit. The spirit which is trying to get you to go the right way or trying to come. He says don't quench. Don't put fire on the spirit of God. That's within you. Despise not prophesying. You know what that is? It says don't be mad at the preacher because he tells you the truth. Don't be mad at the preacher because he tells you the truth. It's don't despise those things because God has given his word to correct. Listen, it don't do us real good time to preach because we got to go through it first. And it still applies to us. And God usually gets on us. I really think God has a higher calling than what we're, a higher calling in the sense that we got to live a little bit better life. And I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, but I think when he calls you to preach, he wants you to be to at least look a little bit better. Don't get mad at somebody going down the road like I did. The appearance, talking about, later on, was talking about do away with all appearances of evil. How can you have, and the road rage is a hard thing to control these days, I understand. How does it look for you to have road rage, shake your fist, and do other things, and then you go to church and there they are? And you got to preach to them. And you're supposed to be standing up here talking about how to live and making the right example. Don't despise when a man of God preaches the word of God. It's not his word, it's God's word. God has given it to, God gives a message. Every time he gives a message to whoever does the preaching or the teaching, he's given that message so that we can learn. And it's for the church and individuals at that time. And God can, God can do a million messages through one message. He can speak to a thousand different people a thousand different ways through one message. In fact, I remember Charles Stanley talking about one time, so after the sermon, somebody came and said, "I appreciate you saying so and so." Charles said, I thought, I don't remember saying that. But God can speak. Don't limit God what God can do. If you got a boring speaker like me, God can still work through his words. It's the power. Why do you think the devil's trying to stop it? Why do you think he took it out of schools? Why do you think he's trying to do away with the name of Jesus? How come you can't pray on a football field, which is absolutely ridiculous? You can't do that. They know the name of Jesus is more powerful than any other message you can go out there. And they don't want to compete with it. And that's the devil's crowd. I don't care how good they look or how good they sound or what they say. If they're trying to deny Jesus and the word of God and don't want it to be freely spoken or preached, they're Antichrist. I'm not saying they're the Antichrist. I'm saying they are Antichrist. Don't think they haven't got, I got a big prince back of them called Satan that's doing that and pushing that. And he always appears as an angel of light. I'm telling you, the devil really wants to help you, buddy. I'm telling you. Well, he'll put on all the jewels and smile and grin while he eats you alive. It says prove all things. You know what that means? Take a step out in faith sometimes. Well, I know God said do it this way, and I don't seem right to me, but you know what? He said it. Prove God's word. He says, prove these things. Take a step out in faith and see what God won't do in his wisdom that we cannot comprehend. God says, my ways are so far above your ways. He says, you can't even begin to comprehend my ways. He said, but my ways are for you, and they're great, and they're wonderful, and they're marvelous. And many times in the Old Testament, when they saw an angel of the Lord, or they saw a sacrifice that God accepted, they said, man. The angel did wondrously. In fact, one man said, he said, we're going to die. We've seen God. His wife said, well, stupid, you're not going to die. He just told you a prophecy on you. Oh, she didn't say stupid. That's what she meant. She said, you know, what are you worried about? You just seen the angel take up. He's giving you a good word of prophecy. You think he's going to kill you now? God does wondrously. Can you think of a time in your life when God's done wonderful things? Anytime. Can you think of a time? I can think of some times. Can you think of times where he touched and healed you physically? Are you spending enough time with God to know him? It says to know him. Know him. He says, no, I want you to get to know me. I want this person. I want a closer relationship. I want to get to know you. Sometimes we're scared to get too close because we're scared of what he's going to ask us to do. Don't you know he's not going to ask you to do anything that's harmful to you? That if you'll do what he says to do, that you'll enjoy it, you'll have a life. You talk about abundant life. It's talking about that spiritual abundant life. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And I might get in trouble in another church on this. Listen, don't tell your kids not to do marijuana or drugs. You got a six-pack of beer sitting in the refrigerator. Well, nothing wrong with drinking. Well, it is because your kids go off to the wrong way. And kids aren't stupid. Kids are smart. Kids are extremely smart. They see and hear more than you ever think they do. If you're one thing in church and a big hypocrite at home, you think they don't pick up on that? Do you think they think Christianity is real? Do you think there's really a God in heaven or a Jesus who died for them to save them from their sins? Man, I tell you, I marvel when kids are little how much intelligence they got. I marvel. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It may not be wrong, and I think drinking beer is, but anyway, it may not be wrong, and I'm not arguing with you about it. It may not be wrong. Things may not be wrong in itself, but it says, even if it's the appearance of evil. Paul said, in his day and time, he says, if you're afraid to buy meat in the market, he said, don't be afraid to buy meat in the market because you don't know, well, it's been sacrificed to animals and then sacrificed to idols and then carried out to be sold. He said, because it's nothing. He said, but now if you do know it's been sacrificed to idols, you don't eat it because you're a partaker. He said, but if you don't know, it don't make any difference. He just said, but don't buy any meat at all if you got somebody with you who's weak in the faith. He thinks you're sinning because you buy meat that might have been sacrificed to idols. Does that make any sense to you guys? It's all right to do it. He said, but don't do it if it's going to offend somebody over here, a weak brother or sister, to make them sin. That's what it's talking about. Refrain from all appearances of evil. It says, if you'll do these things, and the very God of peace, do you have peace in your heart this morning? Do you know him where there's not a shadow of doubt in your mind that if you close your eyes in death this day that you step into glory? Do you have that assurance? Maybe you need to come and find out. Come to the altar of God when God calls, where God will answer. I'm telling you, there'll never be a time when God calls you to the altar that he will not answer. Guaranteed. In the blood of Christ. And the very God of peace will sanctify you, or he'll set you apart for his work holy. He'll sanctify you holy, body, soul, and spirit. He says, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 24, here's the promise. Faithful is he that called you. Faithful is God who called you. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. God will keep his promise. Listen, we all need a closer walk with God. I don't care how close you are now. We can always get closer with God. And we usually wait till times of tragedy or times of hardships or times of trouble before we seek God. Why don't you seek him early? He can be found early. Why do we walk in disobedience when we don't have to? Why do we wait for something bad to happen? I know this. My God is real. Hell's coming. Judgment's coming. Oh, it's never slowed down. God's justice has been going according to his timetable. It's never slowed down. It's never stopped. But for those who love him, who accept his gift freely, who created us, he's the reason we're alive. If you'll come to him, he will give you life and give it more abundantly. And he'll be with us. He says, I will never forsake you. We have a great God who deserves our love and our worship, and him only. He's a very jealous God. You say, yes, but he's a very jealous God. We'll have no other gods before him because his other gods are carried to death. God will give you life. Brother Dan.